Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're on with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN, yes, sir. It's a Thursday up in here, May 30th, and we certainly have news to react to. I was hoping it was going to happen during our show yesterday. And was certainly hoping for a different decision from David Jones. Hit it, Brad. We got another one out of here. Let brother go home. And here I was last night. Because there were reports after we found out from Jonathan Givony that David Jones is forgoing that final year of eligibility. Going to keep his name in the draft. There were reports that Memphis was making a late push. That was me refreshing my Twitter last night up to about 10-something, hoping that David Jones would see the light.
I was doing the same thing. I actually thought they were negotiating him with them to the, what are they, the 8th hour? What do they call it? The 10th hour? What's the
whatever, the 12th hour.
The 12th hour.
Whatever
you.
It is.
The late.
Last, late.
To the, up to the minute.
Be willing to go up with the NIL offer, wouldn't you be?
Yes.
So you could imagine that probably happening.
Got a pile of cash.
Right? Mm-hmm. And you thought that in seeing the light, which in this case would be returning to Memphis, like maybe we'd have a late night tweeters. Didn't happen. Brother go
home. David Joe's gone.
What are you doing, David?
Brother gone.
I hope it works out for him.
He's been playing with us for a damn month, David Jones, this man.
Now, Jeff stole my punchline this morning. I'm not very happy about it, but Penny been telling us 7:30. We should have been fading Penny.
7:30
gone. Now, that's, again, a repeated joke,
Jeff.
A stolen one. Because Jeff is so clever. He's so witty. I knew he'd be on it. He knows about Fade Brad Carson. And Penny had been saying 7:30.
Fade Penny.
So it hurt me last night. I'm not going to lie to you. Now, I kept my emotions mostly to myself. I did take my shadow ban self on Twitter and managed to get my hurt heart. I managed to get a tweet out.
I saw it.
And wish David Jones the best of luck. But really, what I was saying, what the hell are you doing? And we'll talk about that decision because many were baffled by it, I think. Not just us here locally, but nationally. ESPN has written about it, about David Jones' decision and what seemed like just a no-brainer. But again, we are not the ones making the decision, certainly. And in all seriousness, we do wish David Jones the best of luck. Penny did get a commitment last night from a player who was not David Jones.
Yeah, he went into the portal.
His name is Daniel.
Oh, great, Daniel.
Daniel, I'm not David Jones, Vieira Tuck. And that's unfair to Daniel. It is.
Vieira Tuck.
Yeah, and he's not, you know, we were saying Portuguese.
He's from Dallas.
He played.
He's a Texan. He's a damn Texan.
Dallas, Texas. But his mom's from Portugal. He's been playing for the under 20 team or whatever it is.
He's a Texan.
Anyway, he's in. David Jones out.
That's right.
It's not going to fill the void left by David Jones. So we got to talk about what Memphis is going to do. What David Jones, I guess, is going to do. Everybody's saying, well, this is a weaker draft, Jason. It makes more sense to go now than not. He ain't getting drafted either one of them.
Yeah.
So you turn down a lot of money. We'll talk about the decision. You kind of see where I'm at on it. Penny does, strike last night, getting another commitment. But again, if he was planning to have that production in the fold, he's going to need to do a lot more than Daniel Vera Tuck in terms of replacing it. He does have a transfer portal class already that's ranked, what, number 11 in the country by 247 Sports. So it's not like there isn't something there, but obviously we talked about the ceiling felt much higher with David Jones. Speaking of fading, as you should have done with Penny on 70-30 and David Jones, Fade Brad is back tonight, and I'm happy about that.
We got a pick tonight at 12:50. We're going to give it to you.
Very excited about that. Minnesota-Dallas game 5. I mean, I shouldn't say this.
Don't over info me with this.
Well, then
thing.
I'll just the keep pick it is nuts
in.
And bolts.
The pick is in. It's like the lotto balls where the media go in the back room. They do it and then they announce it. We've already went in the
I'm
back room.
So you've circled it already.
I mean, I won't change my pick. So maybe you should just go ahead. But I promise, I thought, circle right there.
I thought this is a Dallas hasn't lost back to back games with Luka since March 1st.
Oh, this
March
helps my pick then.
5th.
Okay,
that helps. I figured that would kind of.
It enhances
co-sign
where
what
I'm going.
Because
you've
been
on
Dallas
thing.
The last 2 weeks.
Been riding Dallas.
So if we're fading Brad tonight, we better be on Minnesota. Got a good feeling we better be on Minnesota.
Probably.
Teams at trail 3-0 best of 7 series. We know are 0-155 all time. Never been done. Celtics got close last year. We got to get to winning tonight for Minnesota before we can talk about coming
in,
back for
a
6 and a 7. Mike Norvell.
Oh, yes, he was
former
on
Memphis
Gabe Kuhn's show
had
yesterday.
Had some very nice things to say about his former program in Memphis, the Florida State coach,
glowing.
On the Gabe Kuhn show yesterday. Thought that was very nice. And and speaking of Memphis coaches, in this case current ones, you see that the Tigers tour is out there tonight.
I like that.
Yeah. I'm curious. I didn't see Penny's name on it tonight. I saw Silverfield, saw Crane, the interim yeah. athletic director.
Yep.
Saw the women's basketball coach. Didn't see Penny's name on there. I wonder if he'll be out there or not. I'm just wondering in the sense that we'd have a public reaction, his public reaction to David Jones. Now, maybe this is a day you stay in.
Penny's working on his retention skills.
His name's not on the email and everything else in terms of those that'll show up tonight. But we'll talk about that later on. Got a lot to do. 11:30 or so, we'll talk to Drew Hill, Grizzlies beat writer for the Daily Memphian. He actually, remember this, he talked to David Jones at the Combine in Chicago. So I actually imagine he's not surprised by Jones's decision. I think with some of the Jones quotes that Drew got when he was up there in Chicago that had, was the first, one of the first things to me that was sort of a red flag. Maybe this isn't so much of a no-brainer. This guy just seems like he wants, an NBA team to say, hey, we kind of like you to make the jump. He seemed more determined than ever, certainly in that piece that Drew did on him. We'll talk to Drew about that and the playoffs as well at noon. We'll do the rundown. If you, Brad, have not seen it, you will not believe how a Michigan man earned himself a trip to jail while virtually attending a Zoom court hearing.
Oh.
He did something so stupid. He was on he's on Zoom virtual court.
I have not seen this yet.
He did something so stupid.
It's a Michigan man. You sure it's not a Florida man?
It's a Michigan man.
All right, usually it's Florida that does this stuff.
This is a Michigan man so stupid that the judge said, man, just bring your dumb you-know-what in here. And report to jail. You're so dumb. So we'll talk about that in the rundown. Around 12:45, as Brad said, we'll do Fade Brad Carson. You can hear that game live tonight.
That's right.
On 92.9 FM ESPN. Brad did not mention that, and that's what I'm here to do, provide you
some
nuts and bolts and some opinions. Starts at 7:30, of course, and you can hear it right here. And then at 1:25 or so, we'll do like we always do Thursday, 1:25. We'll talk to the great Jeff Calkins, columnist for the Daily Memphian. I saw him and John going back and forth.
I saw this exchange too about the value
of money.
About
the David Jones decision, and we know the Calkins story of how he left the money and the, the
famous
the lawyer
of lawyer law.
He did. He left it in that the money behind to go be a sports writer. And look at the success it's been. And I guess we could tell, that's an inspiring story that we could tell David Jones. Leaving the money. Because let me tell you something. It sounds like from John and from everything we knew already. But in terms of, this thing was going late night hour, you figure, with Memphis trying to push back, you figure the money went up. But, we were talking about, $250 maybe for Lester Quinones? We're talking way more with David Jones in terms of what you've turned down. So we'll talk about that with Jeff Calkins, sort of where he's at. Again, I think he, too, thought the right decision was to come back. But Jeff was laying out a much you know, a yellow brick road sort of for David Jones, that it could work out.
Very so, melancholy.
Man, come on, man. Come on. That's the good chance this brother's making less money overseas now, later, whatever else. But again, that said, we are all wishing him the best.
He's gone.
Real quick, before we get into the, you know, what it means for Memphis in terms of David Jones.
Yeah.
I just want to say something about the guy that whose column I'm referring to, mm-hmm. the great John Martin, who's mm-hmm. close to rejoining us, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey.
I realize that, you know, hearing my baritone voice for a whole month and Brad, me going back and forth, you miss John's voice and you miss what he brings to the show. But we are seeing him now. I mean, if Penny farts, John's writing about it over for the Daily Memphian. And he's really up, you know, John's really up his tail. Like, he's getting the work in for the Daily Memphian. And just real quick, Brad, and listeners, because I think you can relate. You ever had that person at work, right? And I ain't just talking about other floors. I'm talking about your department. That just takes a little bit too much time off work for you. You know what I'm saying? Because
you are digging in now,
Jason. Well, I'm just going to say, well, because we're getting so close, and I want to get all these feelings. And this, again, is nothing I wouldn't tell John to his face. He understands it, and you'll see where I'm going in just a second. But that person, he's just gone a little bit. He or she is just gone a little bit too much. And, again, this happens on all levels. That brother gone all the time, Brad. That's one of your best drops and best placed, best time drops.
Good ever. Timing there.
Exactly, because what is it in this sense? And you kind of abusing the system, because in this sense, when that person's gone, what do you got to do? You got to go double time, right? You got to pick up your end a little bit, and so that's why you've got to monitor sort of, you know, when that person's in out, and if they're gone a little bit too much. You know, it sort of can rub you the wrong way a little bit, right? And so you get a little
this
bit.
This is personally.
I'm just saying.
You're saying this on your own behalf.
I think all people can relate to this. And maybe this is sort of the boat that I'm in. But then as that person gets closer here, this is what I got this morning, you know, to their return. You know, after a long habit. Basically, we said paternity leave. John's been on a sabbatical. Got a text this morning from John.
He's like a pastor. Pastors get sabbaticals, don't they?
Yeah, bro. Yeah.
Like, you know, like you go to a mission to Israel or something.
Well, what's our former president, Rudd, went on sabbatical, went about a year.
Went off for a year.
Back to the point. Get a text from John this morning.
It's like Rudd. He's a professor.
Let me tell you something. Been gone, paternity leave, and he's earned it. 6 legal weeks.
It's the legal. He gets this legally. It's in the also in our employee handbook.
But I'm reading him every day in the damn Daily Memphian. I'm just not seeing him here. Get a text from John. Guess where he's at?
Is he? I thought he was in Chicago.
It's a picture. It's of Wrigleyville.
Oh. So he's rubbing it in a little bit now.
He's in my town, Brad.
That's tough.
He's in a hotel in Wrigleyville. Going to go to a Cubs game tomorrow, it sounds like. I didn't even know there was a hotel in Wrigleyville. His view is right across the street from the stadium. Mm. And he just wanted to show me that this morning as I'm sort of, you know, going through preparing for this show where I got a double time, you know, where you and I got to work a little bit harder because he's not here. Rubbing it in is exactly what he's doing. He's doing his job. He's trolling.
Rubbing it in.
Trolling.
He's out there trolling and rolling. Actually, and going back and forth with Jeff Calkins on Twitter. It's like he's not even gone when he's gone.
And writing a column every time Penny.
Well, he gets paid on the per column. I think the deal with the Daily Memphian is every time he writes, it's an additional check.
So let me just tell you something. When John gets back in here on Monday, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Brad, you and I, we're going to be quiet.
We just left.
Because we've missed a month of his thoughts, right? Of his bets.
Yeah.
We're going to.
You his know, wisdom
like,
and fun.
You know, like producer Dennis on 2 to 4. Who is here?
Who's one of our?
He's here.
He's our non-smoking. He's a board. He's our.
But he
board
has a
guy.
Deal where he does not talk he's on that show.
Well, there's a difference. There's a board op, and then right, there's producers.
But you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
You and I are going to be Dennis on Monday when John
mute.
Stops, because he's going to have a because we want him to say a lot. You understand what I'm saying? John been gone a long time. You and I have been saying a lot of words twice, three times as many as we usually
yeah,
say.
Yeah, our word count.
And this fool is trolling at the end. He's in my town trolling from Chicago. It's a sunny day up in Wrigleyville today. And you know what we got here? We got clouds because David Jones is leaving.
Unbelievable.
So let me just tell you something. You know, if you got that work at work, we do what we got to do. We roll up our sleeves. We go double time.
Yeah.
We get the job done.
Yeah.
Right? And we wait on that person to come back and we welcome them back. We love them when they get back.
Absolutely.
But that one that's trolling.
Mm-hmm.
About abusing, you know, trolling. Hey, I'm still out, mm-hmm. still having fun, and I'm doing it from your place.
Yeah, that's tough, bro.
There's a special place, you know, for those folks.
And he is celebrating and singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game and doing all this stuff.
Yeah, let me tell you something. Monday, we're going to be doing a lot of listening.
Maybe we should start a couple of new bits for John where he just talks. It's John.
I usually do a monologue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Not that day. He's going to have the monologue, the dialogue, the all of it.
Yeah.
Every single last bit of it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's up and ready. Now, good thing is, you and Les Kruger cursed the Cubs.
This is on you, Jason. This one is on you. You broke the Jason Smith rule, which is the karma of sports rule. When you try to throw shade on someone else's team or be a little funny about it,
yep,
it's sports karma comes back to get you. You're the one who told me about this.
I know. I broke my own rule. I didn't heed my own advice.
Cubs and Cardinals now tied in second place.
Controlling the Cardinals, and you guys, since that losing streak, what are like 12-3? It's
killing
unbelievable.
It.
I shouldn't have said
it.
Anything. I should have kept my mouth shut.
Yeah.
Anyway, on to the news.
All right.
And, of course, John Martin's giving us the news. He's got a column up about it over at DailyMemphis.com. David Jones decides to forego that final year of eligibility he would have had at Memphis if he had elected to come back. We thought it was a no-brainer just in terms of a couple of things. The fact that the NBA, after a unimpressive combine performance, I think that's keeping it fair, unimpressive combine performance and unimpressive numbers in terms of his physical measurements, everything else, shorter than we thought at 6'3.5". You know, his draft stock had not gone up as he had hoped at the draft combine. And keep in mind, remember, David Jones was surprised, and I think admitted this to Drew Hill, if not others, that he got the combine invite in the first place. You know, not on these top 100 lists of prospects. You just figured with that combined, with the amount of money in NIL that Memphis looked like it was willing to give him to come back. And again, it feels like that number now was closer to $1 million than it was to $500,000. Like we're talking about a significant amount, you know, much more than what Lester Quinones turned down. I mean, clearly, in terms of what was in play. And keep in mind, it probably should have been. Again, Memphis in a better position from NIL. But David Jones, in terms of what you're losing, point score, rebound score, honorable mention All-American, that money should be higher. But again, the idea that it was closer to probably $1 million, you know, whether it's 800K, whatever, than it was to 500. I mean, that amount of money is something that, I'm going to be honest with you, and John's written this, and I agree that you may never make up, you know? We can, you know, I had people, again, when I went on Twitter last night, and I thought, you know, essentially as, you know, understand David's got a dream he wants to chase and wouldn't tell any man not to chase his dreams, but you are turning down a significant amount of money that you could put your dreams on pause for right now. Right. It's a significant amount of money that may not be there for you as you chase that dream. And again, that's not rooting against David Jones to go get it. We all want that. Lester Quinones picked the tougher road, and it's gone well for him. We hope it happens for David Jones. But everything said, the common sense around here said, Penny Hardaway clearly felt good about it, was wrong. Even the experts, you know, the Borzellos of the world that examine college basketball. I think even Gavoni, who wrote the story, we all thought that the better decision for David Jones, not just from a monetary standpoint, we've set that up now, too, from a development standpoint, because the NBA is not clamoring for a 6'3.5", essentially shooting guard who can't really switch over and play point guard for you. And so it made all the sense in the world to come back. And again, Penny Hardaway is telling you double and tripling down on 70-30 made all the sense in the world to come back. And yet, as we've mentioned, and I'm serious, we're not just saying this because he's coming on today. I think for me, it was up at the combine, when David Jones is telling Drew Hill, man, they just need to tell me something good, and I'm gone. It's not, you know, that essentially said, it's not about the money, right? I think for me, that was the red flag where, while this still seemed like a no-brainer of a decision, Brad, I start saying, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then yesterday afternoon after the show, but we're waiting up until it felt like deadline. Then you saw the report, I believe, from Hitman Hoops First that said David Jones has a workout today. He's going to wait until afterwards, and I'm thinking, oh, boy. And the fact that it's going this late, my point is that while I still think it was a no-brainer decision, he made the wrong decision, there's some part of me that wasn't surprised because it seemed like the longer we went, we were getting here. And maybe Penny Hardaway felt that way, too, there at the end, even though it sounds like reportedly you try to make a last-ditch effort, last-minute effort to try to get him back. Well, listen, Penny was clearly planning to have him back. What it seems clear from is clear from what he's drawn out of the transfer portal, and John and I both said it when the process initially started before Penny had any of these seven was that you have to have a backup plan for if he's not. For if this happens, for if the no-brainer, what we said was no-brainer decision, goes the other way on you, you better have a backup plan. And essentially, yes, and Giannato's pointed this out, and Jeff was doing it again this morning, they're lighter on the wing without David Jones. But you can see the makings of a team without him by what you've pulled out of the transfer portal. So while Penny called it wrong and was clearly expecting David Jones back, I would tell you he's done a solid job, at least on paper. Doesn't mean anything, frankly, by the time the college basketball season rolls around. But he's done a solid job of putting together a Plan B team that could operate without David Jones. And Right. Let's be real. I mean, there are questions about, well, do you have enough ball to go around next year if you're bringing David Jones back? People were tweeting me last night, and fairly so. You just saw a problem with it last season, Jason. You bring David Jones back in the fold with what he's got. All these guys that expect to have the ball in their hand, Tyrese Hunter, P.J. Haggerty, Kobe Rogers, you're going to have the same issue. That's true.
Right.
It's also true that David Jones was a turnover machine, particularly that with the usage rate and everything else. That's true. And David Jones wasn't particularly strong defensively. And so, yes, you could make a case that with what Penny's got, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. What I'm not going to do today is try to spin it that way for you and tell you this isn't a huge loss. Clearly, again, you were willing to pay this guy well into, six figures, maybe seven, to get him back. So it's a blow for you. What does it do in terms of context? That's what we're saying. The Athletic did a top 25. We'll get to Drew Hill here in a minute. Athletic did a top 25 post-withdrawal deadline date last night. They've got Memphis essentially 30th. And basically you wonder and you think, okay, well, without David Jones, with them in 30th, you're probably a top 25 team with him, right? And you go and look, and Memphis was written about this morning by ESPN as well, as relates to David Jones' decision. And Jeff Borzello says, and with him in the fold, the Tigers could have made an argument to be ranked in the preseason top 25. As they write, without him, he'll have to rely almost entirely on transfers and has no focal point in the offensive end. That's fair. But my point is, so what are you losing? You're losing what's essentially a preseason top 25 spot. People still think you've got enough, right, to be not just relevant, but maybe a top 25 team. But don't tell me that's not a big loss. And again, you're not filling it up with Daniel Vieira Tuck. Like, it's got to be more than that. With all due respect to that young player, and hopefully what he's hell, we may never see his name again, Brad. In terms of that's not the replacement for David Jones. That this young kid right. that's coming over, having played with in Portugal for the last season that they get last night. He's not the replacement. He's not 21 points a game, 7 rebounds. You're gonna have to if Penny. Here's what I want to land. If Penny was envisioning having David Jones in that production in a lineup that included these 7 transfers, right? Not just as you've got a plan B without him, but if this is what you truly envision, is he gonna go shopping again with his money? Is he gonna bring another guy in at a time, Brad, where the price is going up too? Remember, too,
yes.
Because you have a limited amount of guys now, and John went through some of them over at his column over at DailyMemphis.com. You got a limited number of guys available at this point. Remember, the plan was to get everybody in here in June,
yeah,
right, and to have David Jones back. Now, if you're telling yourself, well, I got to get somebody that can give me monster production to go with this, you're going to have to pay a pretty penny to go get it. I'll say this. Because I was listening to Giannato yesterday. I don't think I'm quite as high as he is on this team without David Jones. I think he thinks it's a lock still to win the the AAC.
Yeah.
I think Memphis still would be the preseason pick. And again, Penny's going to have 3 more scholarships here to go fishing and go do some more, and you expect that he will. I still think yes, they'll be the preseason pick, but as far as making it past the first weekend, I don't feel good about that now, losing David Jones. I felt better about those chances with him, although I will acknowledge that Penny was going to have to probably deal with some of the same issues that he had last season in terms of dealing this is something he's going to have to deal with and get better at. It's just the truth, and I agree. Mark and I had this conversation yesterday. It's something he's going to have to get better. It's always the way he's operated. You want all the talent in the world. Well, the issue is you get all that talent here, you've got to get it into roles. If you don't have a team like 2 years ago where it's obvious that Kendrick Davis and DeAndre Williams are the 1-2 and everybody's falling in behind, that's on the coach to get those guys into roles. And Penny's got to break through that. He's got to get that figured out with David Jones or without him. With him, you're going to have even more of an issue. You don't feel like that's dead because I feel like Penny's probably going to go try to get somebody else to throw in the mix, likely on the wing where he is light. So, listen, the better plan and the path that we all wanted was this path, the 7 transfers that's number 11 in the country, you know, along with Nicholas Jourdain and David Jones on board, and hopefully a top 25 team. I think the ceiling is lowered a bit without him. I can't tell you how much. I still expect Memphis to make the tournament, but I think, you know, and I was listening a little bit with Jeff this morning. I think to get excited around here again about Memphis basketball, which is what Penny needs. He needs the kind of excitement right now that Silverfield, to his credit, has got going with Memphis football. He needs that. I don't think you get that kind of excitement, even though getting back to the tournament is much, I don't think you get it just getting back to the tournament. I think to get that kind of excitement, you've got to make a second weekend push. You know, that's what this program and this area has longed for the last few years is the second weekend push. Brad, I think your chances of that are less without David Jones the fold. I think it was why they were willing to give him so much in NIL. Am I saying it can't work out, that you can't do that? No. But I think those chances are lessened. That road gets murkier without David Jones.
So the second part I want to focus on where you said, do I think there is a chance, possibly? Your answer
are
is
they still a second? Because that's how you get people excited again about Memphis basketball.
It's not sexy losing David Jones. We can all agree on that. You'd rather have David Jones, obviously.
You're dang right you would.
You would rather pay David Jones, obviously. I thought the point of Mark's column, though, is an interesting one from a leadership perspective, and I know it's not fun to talk about leadership, but follow me here. The point of his column, I felt like, was addition by subtraction. Am I misreading that?
Man, it's a story's been told over time, and I've told it. I remember when Will Barton left the Tigers, and it was just Joe and the rest of the guys that we told that narrative and everything. Like, that's what you can tell yourself. And yes, Brad, it can go that way. Like, you can be better. And again, you know, we can pick at David Jones now, but I don't want to tear him down now, the player that we know what he was. We know he was flawed, but I see so much tearing him down now because he chose not to go back. I don't want to
I'm
be
not doing that when I say that.
Right.
Because he chose to
but,
do
but
that.
But your part,
I didn't do
your
he
point,
didn't.
It, just tell me where you're going. You're telling me that you agree with Giannotto that you could be better off without David Jones. Is that what I'm hearing?
Here's the sentence that he sort of makes the point, because he does it passively. He doesn't aggressively attack that point. He sort of alludes to that could happen. Right?
I mean, we know what the top 25s and everything else are saying, but let me hear what he wrote.
But Hardaway doesn't necessarily.
I read him this morning.
But Hardaway doesn't necessarily need to replace Jones, and that's a credit to his recruiting efforts this season. The backcourt of Hunter, Haggerty, Rogers, combined with a deep front court featuring Nick Jourdain, Dane Danger, Musa Cisse, and Tyreek Smith, still might be good enough for an ACC preseason. What Jason Smith is saying is it may not be good enough for a second weekend.
Correct. Which I think you need ultimately. See, Mark's point is that they can be okay right now with what they have to make the tournament. And that's fine. That, frankly, it's the expectation. Penny needs to get back to the tournament in year 7. What I'm telling you is to get the excitement level back up, to start selling season tickets again, to get the turnstile count back up. You need the kind of buzz that Ryan Silverfield's got. And frankly, I'll be honest with you. I didn't think he was going to get it. Coming off of a Liberty Bowl win over an Iowa State team that, yes, gets you to 10, but frankly, with you finished, what, 4th in the American. I didn't think it was going to come together the way it has for him. But you add the NIL and everything else, the fact, let's be real, Memphis can make a college football playoff. Everything has aligned for them. And what's happening? There is a buzz, the kind of buzz that Penny Hardaway once had around this program. To get that back, I feel like, And I think a great many Tiger fans would agree with me. While you can get, we'd be happy getting back to the tournament. Be happy winning one game. Penny's got one tournament win in these 6 years, okay? It's time to get more than that. And so that's my point. Mark's right. You can make the tournament with what you got. and maybe you make a second weekend. What I'm telling you is that second weekend that I think the program and Penny needs to get people really back involved, really reinvested. I'm talking about butts in seats again, is second weekend. That gets harder without David Jones. Not saying it can't happen, not ruling it out, but that's why I think last night's decision was so unfortunate for both sides. For David Jones, who could very well toil and look back and say this was an opportunity, a pot of money I could have made that I can't recoup. And Memphis, who now will likely start the season outside top 25, we realize that's not important around here anymore. Remember at one point, John's clamoring for more top 25 attention. Memphis deserved it at one point. It all came apart. It didn't even matter. It didn't even matter what they were at that point. That they got up to 10, 15, and 2. That at one point they were being, quote, disrespected because they weren't in the rankings. So throw out the preseason ranking. But you just tell me, how do you feel about second weekend chances? Because listen, I've been doing this a long time. That's what gets people excited around here. You got to, Jeff's averaged it out. Got to make one of those every 7 years. Make a Sweet 16. That's what typically, historically, the program has done. It's what it's lacked for. There's a drought right now. And that gets harder without David Jones. I'm hoping it still happens. Clearly, Penny Hardaway was expecting to have him back.
Don't disagree. I also don't think people are going to be excited. But here's what I'll tell you. The Memphis football team, people weren't excited about until they won the Liberty Bowl game. And so we went through a whole season of pretty lackluster excitement. Would you agree with that?
No big wins.
I agree with that.
That's why I tell you
But then they got to the Liberty Bowl, and then they won the Liberty Bowl game, and then people got excited.
Sure.
So my and I'm not disagreeing with you. What I'm saying is sometimes surprising things happen when you go through things like this. And we don't have a choice, you know, because we're losing him. I mean, there's just no choice. And then the portal's pretty much, you know, wiped unless you go out and you do something crazy. But
here's the thing. They can be on just about anybody, I would think, except maybe your Illinois kid that
I saw him open up.
Some of the numbers for him look crazy. Yeah. Somebody said $2 million.
He's going to get paid. He calculated this.
I don't know if you can go that high on these guys, and you will have to go higher. Penny Hardaway was saying this on that podcast with Iguodala, that at this time, as the numbers get lower, you have to go higher. Athletic did a top 25. We'll get to Drew Hill here in a minute. Athletic did a top 25 post-withdrawal deadline date last night. They've got Memphis essentially 30th. And basically you wonder and you think, okay, well, without David Jones, with them in 30th, you're probably a top 25 team with him, right? And you go and look, and Memphis was written about this morning by ESPN as well. Well, as relates to David Jones' decision, and Jeff Borzello says, and with him in the fold, the Tigers could have made an argument to be ranked in the preseason top 25. As they write, without him, he'll have to rely almost entirely on transfers and has no focal point in the offensive end. That's fair. But my point is, so what are you losing? You're losing what's essentially a preseason top 25 spot. People still think you've got enough, right, to be not just relevant, but maybe a top 25 team. But don't tell me that's not a big loss. And again, you're not filling it up with Daniel Vieira Tuck. Like, it's got to be more than that. With all due respect to that young player, and hopefully what he's hell, we may never see his name again, Brad. In terms of, that's not the replacement for David Jones. You know, that this young kid that's coming over, having played with, you know, in Portugal for the last season that they get last night, he's not the replacement. He's not 21 points a game, 7 rebounds. You're going to have to, if Penny, here's what I want to lay. If Penny was envisioning having David Jones in that production in a lineup that included these 7 transfers, right, not just as, you've got a plan B without him, but if this is what you truly envision, is he going to go shopping again with his money? You know, is he going to bring another guy in at a time, Brad, where the price is going up too? Remember, too, because you have a limited amount of guys now, and John went through some of them over at his column over at DailyMemphis.com. You got a limited number of guys available at this point. Remember, the plan was to get everybody in here in June, right, and to have David Jones back. Now, if you're telling yourself, well, I got to get, you know, somebody that can give me monster production to go with this, you're going to have to pay a pretty penny to go get it. I'm not as, I'll say this, because I was listening to Giannotto yesterday. I don't think I'm quite as high as he is on this team without David Jones. You know, I think he thinks it's a lock still to win the.
Let's go through
the AAC.
Yeah. They,
you know them. I think Memphis still would be the preseason pick. And again, Penny's going to have 3 more scholarships here to go fishing and go do some more, and you expect that he will. I still think yes, they'll be the preseason pick, but. You know, as far as making it past the first weekend, I don't feel good about that now, losing David Jones. I felt better about those chances with him, although I will acknowledge that Penny was going to have to probably deal with some of the same issues that he had last season in terms of dealing. This is something he's going to have to deal with and get better at. It's just the truth, and I agree. Mark and I had this conversation yesterday. It's something he's going to have to get better. It's always the way he's operated. You want all the talent in the world. Well, the issue is you get all that talent here, you've got to get it into roles. If you don't have a team like 2 years ago where it's obvious that Kendrick Davis and DeAndre Williams are the 1-2 and everybody's falling in behind, that's on the coach to get those guys into roles. And Penny's got to break through that. He's got to get that figured out with David Jones or without him. With him, you're going to have even more of an issue. You don't feel like that's dead because I feel like Penny's probably going to go try to get somebody else to throw in the mix, likely on the wing where he is light. So, listen, the better plan and the path that we all wanted was this path, the 7 transfers that's number 11 in the country, you know, along with Nicholas Jourdain and David Jones on board, and hopefully a top 25 team. I think the ceiling is lowered a bit without him. I can't tell you how much. I still expect Memphis to make the tournament, but I think, you know, and I was listening a little bit with Jeff this morning. I think to get excited around here again about Memphis basketball, which is what Penny needs. He needs the kind of excitement right now that Silverfield, to his credit, has got going with Memphis football. He needs that. I don't think you get that kind of excitement, even though getting back to the tournament is much, I don't think you get it just getting back to the tournament. I think to get that kind of excitement, you've got to make a second weekend push. You know, that's what this program and this area has longed for the last few years is the second weekend push. Brad, I think your chances of that are less without David Jones the fold. I think it was why they were willing to give him so much in NIL. Am I saying it can't work out, that you can't do that? No. But I think those chances are lessened. That road gets murkier without David Jones.
So the second part the part I want to focus on, where you said, do I think there is a chance, possibly? Your answer
are
is
they still a second? Because that's how you get people excited again about Memphis basketball.
It's not sexy losing David Jones. We can all agree on that. You'd rather have David Jones, obviously.
You're dang right you
would. You would rather pay David Jones, obviously. I thought the point of Mark's column, though, is an interesting one from a leadership perspective, and I know it's not fun to talk about leadership, but follow me here. The point of his column, I felt like, was addition by subtraction. Am I misreading that?
Man, it's a story's been told over time, and I've told it. I remember when Will Barton left the Tigers, and it was just Joe and the rest of the guys that we told that narrative and everything. Like, that's what you can tell yourself. And yes, Brad, it can go that way. Like, you can be better. And again, you know, we can pick at David Jones now, but I don't want to tear him down now, the player that we know what he was. We know he was flawed, but I see so much tearing him down now because he chose not to go back. I don't want to be.
I'm not doing that when I say that.
Right.
Because he chose to do that.
But your part, your point, tell me where you're going. You're telling me that you agree with Giannotto that you could be better off without David Jones. Is that what I'm hearing?
Here's the sentence that he sort of makes the point, because he does it passively. He doesn't aggressively attack that point. He sort of alludes to that could happen. Right?
I mean, we know what the top 25s and everything else are saying, but let me hear what he wrote.
But Hardaway doesn't necessarily.
I read him this morning.
Yeah, but Hardaway doesn't necessarily need to replace Jones, and that's a credit to his recruiting efforts this season. The backcourt of Hunter, Haggerty, Rogers, combined with a deep front court featuring Nick Jourdain, Dane Danger, Musa Cisse, and Tyreek Smith, still might be good enough for an ACC preseason. What Jason Smith is saying is it may not be good enough for a second weekend.
Correct, which I think you need ultimately. See, Mark's point is that they can be okay right now with what they have to make the tournament, and that's fine. That, frankly, it's the expectation. Penny needs to get back to the tournament in year 7. What I'm telling you is to get the excitement level back up, to start selling season tickets again, to get the turnstile count back up. You need the kind of buzz that Ryan Silverfield's got. And frankly, I'll be honest with you. I didn't think he was going to get it. Coming off of a Liberty Bowl win over an Iowa State team that, yes, gets you to 10, but frankly, with you finished, what, 4th in the American. I didn't think it was going to come together the way it has for him. But you add the NIL and everything else, the fact, let's be real, Memphis can make a college football playoff. Everything has aligned for them. And what's happening? There is a buzz, the kind of buzz that Penny Hardaway once had around this program. To get that back, I feel like, And I think a great many Tiger fans would agree with me. While you can get, we'd be happy getting back to the tournament. Be happy winning one game. Penny's got one tournament win in these 6 years, okay? It's time to get more than that. And so that's my point. Mark's right. You can make the tournament with what you got. And maybe you make a second weekend. What I'm telling you is that second weekend that I think the program and Penny needs to get people really back involved, really reinvested. I'm talking about butts in seats again, is second weekend. That gets harder without David Jones. Not saying it can't happen, not ruling it out, but that's why I think last night's decision was so unfortunate for both sides. For David Jones, who could very well toil and look back and say this was an opportunity, a pot of money I could have made that I can't recoup. And Memphis, who now will likely start the season outside top 25, we realize that's not important around here anymore. Remember, at one point, John was clamoring for more top 25 attention. Memphis deserved it at one point. It all came apart. It didn't even matter. It didn't even matter what they were at that point. That they got up to 10, 15, and 2, that at one point they were being, quote, disrespected because they weren't in the rankings. So throw out the preseason ranking. But you just tell me, how do you feel about second weekend chances? Because Listen, I've been doing this a long time. That's what gets people excited around here. You got it. Jeff's averaged it out. Got to make one of those every 7 years. Make a Sweet 16. That's what typically, historically, the program has done. It's what it's lacked for. There's a drought right now. And that gets harder without David Jones. I'm hoping it still happens. Clearly, Penny Hardaway was expecting to have him back.
Don't disagree. I also don't think people are going to be excited. But here's what I'll tell you. The Memphis football team, people weren't excited about until they won the Liberty Bowl game. And so we went through a whole season of pretty lackluster excitement. Would you agree with that?
No big wins.
I agree with that.
That's why I tell you
but
was still on.
But then they got to the Liberty Bowl, and then they won the Liberty Bowl game, and then people got excited.
Sure.
So my and I'm not disagreeing with you. What I'm saying is sometimes surprising things happen when you go through things like this. And we don't have a choice, you know, because we're losing him. I mean, there's just no choice. And then the portal's pretty much, you know, wiped unless you go out and you do something crazy. But
here's the thing. They can be on just about anybody, I would think, except maybe your Illinois kid that
I saw him open up.
Some of the numbers for him look crazy. Yeah. Somebody said $2 million.
He's going to get paid. He calculated this.
I don't know if you can go that high on these guys, and you will have to go higher. Penny Hardaway was saying this on that podcast with Iguodala, that at this time, as the numbers get lower, you have to go higher. I don't think they can go to $2 million, but Memphis absolutely has something to come to the table with because you got a large chunk from this David Jones non-transaction that now you had set aside that is now freed up. You've got that. You've got, you know, whatever's coming in, whatever your portion of the $5 million that's coming in from Fred. Like, Memphis can go take a swing at somebody. I'm not sure they can get, you know, and he's a different Coleman Hawkins, what, 6'10"? He's a different kind of player.
Yeah.
Plays a little bit of inside, outside. That kid's good, though.
He's very good. And actually, you'd become a bigs team versus a guard.
Well, they've already got sort of four bigs if you count Jourdain. I just don't you know where you are light on is the wing, it feels like.
The wing.
So you just wonder if you're going to take a swing, a big swing, and spend some of this David Jones money if that's where you're looking to get it is on the wing. But there's still some guys out there. John's got some of them laid out there over in his column over at thedailymemphian.com. John doing a lot of working. He's going to be working a lot more next week when he comes.
What if he has another child? What if he has another child?
We already did this. We did it in an over and under. Maybe you don't remember it.
Over and under
when he was out on some
remind
other.
Remind me.
Because we did 2.5 kids for him, and we said no. Because
we said under.
Yeah, we said under because, again, look how.
I don't think John knows how to use protection at this point.
He said he was struggling in terms of just having the two.
Yeah.
Giannotto's got three. Took like 3 days off for the third baby. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
But, I mean, I think we have a staff that just doesn't use protection, you know? I mean,
well, they're young.
Yeah, they're just
fertile. You can't ask those young rabbits. Now, there are things you can do in today's age. I've heard about them.
Yeah.
Right, that you can to prevent more children.
I'm having a little fun here, but you follow me. I mean,
if
very active.
You're asking me what happens if he does it again?
Yeah, we're gonna miss him for another 6 weeks.
If he's
going
to troll me about it and not appreciate it, then...
Yeah, we can't be trolling you.
We may have to go to human resources for real.
I've gotten really, and this is not being disrespectful, Jason, I am so excited about John returning. Don't get me wrong.
Not more excited than I am.
I know you're excited. You've been talking a double time for your partner. And
Ford's
I think that's,
hurting.
Yeah, so, and I've tried to alleviate as much as you'll let me.
You've been great.
Having said that, I've gotten great feedback about your anchoring and being the solo dolo show. I think you've
maybe
done
you
a great
want,
job.
Maybe you want to give me the 7 to 10 p.m. show.
The night show?
Yeah, you put my baritone that night.
You know, It's sort of like a soft rock, less talk.
Yeah, there
you go. Or kind of.
I'm kidding. I could not.
You do a good soft rock tone. Remember, like our guys over at V101, where they used to do night rocks or soft tones.
Isn't that Freddie? Isn't that Freddie's time too? When does he?
I think it is Freddie's time.
And I don't want to interrupt Freddie's time.
Freddie is a legend, man. He's been doing that shift for like 20 years.
No, I look up to him.
He's great.
If I could stay around that long, it's a dream.
It's actually a fun show doing. I did overnights in Las Vegas on a music station. Those late nights are a lot of fun because there's something that happens when the lights go out that the stress level kind of goes away. It's not the work day. People aren't on. They're more off. The vibes are different.
Listen, I love John. Don't get me wrong. We joke about it and all this.
I love him, too. I miss him.
I wouldn't say anything here that I wouldn't say to his face.
Yeah.
You know?
Of course.
But 6 weeks.
He'll probably listen. I think he listens a lot, too.
Because he took one for DJ when he was born, and he took five here. 6 weeks of legal paternity. Now, let me ask you something. Mm. We do that because we give women 6 weeks?
Yeah, and I think that it's a standard policy, men or women. It's just general paternity leave. And it's also a benefit for our company. I don't think some companies don't do that. I think a lot of them are starting to do more of that. Some of them only do 4 weeks. I think Odyssey is trying to do, and in lieu of us making more money, it's probably a nice benefit for employees.
My wife and I were talking about just that the other day.
Yeah, our benefits package, it's part of our benefits package.
I said, honey, so we get the same time. Y'all had the baby.
Yeah.
9 months. We get the same amount of time off as y'all do.
Yeah, ladies.
But they don't want to pay y'all like they pay us, man.
Ain't that the truth? No, that is.
How about that?
That is a fact.
Is that true? Is that true? How about that?
I hope that's not true.
She said, honey, you
preaching.
She said, honey, you preaching.
No, I think that.
Men get the same time off.
Yeah.
For paternity.
And they make more money generally.
But you're not paying.
I don't know if that's true.
But you're not equaling it up in pay.
Yeah. She makes a good point.
Well, it was my point to her.
It's a good point. A good point to make to
after
your
I made
wife
it to her,
well.
Guess what she did? She kissed me. She said, honey, you're right. You preach.
In my family, my wife's the A-chair, though, brother. Some families, it's different.
Well, I was doing the preaching that night on her behalf.
That's good. That's very good.
They don't want to pay y'all like they pay me.
It's not right.
But they want to give us more time off. John going to be back on Monday. I can't wait. Before we get to Drew Hill, I'm going to tell you, we're in the thick of it in the NBA playoffs, game 5 tonight. In the Western Conference Finals, not too late to get in on the action with FanDuel, because right now new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $150 to use on same-game parlays, live bets, championship futures, so much more, including fading Brad. Can't wait to tell you what you're hitting at if you're fading him today. There's no better place to bet all the action than on America's number one sportsbook. Just go to FanDuel.com/JSmith to get started. They make it easy. Again, that's FanDuel.com/JSMITH with new customers getting $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. It's only on FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA and of 929 FM ESPN. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789. Drew Hill is the Grizzlies beat writer for the Daily Memphian. Read him at dailymemphian.com. Follow him on X at @DrewHill_DM. He and his Alabama basketball program got some great news last night as Mark Sears and Jaren Stevenson both announced that they were returning, possibly to an Alabama team, Drew, that'll be ranked number one in the country. This preseason, I have seen some lists, including over at The Athletic, that have you guys number one in the country after that announcement, those announcements last night. And meanwhile, a guy that you talked to at the Combine is not returning to Memphis. He's staying. So happy time for you, downtime for Memphis fans.
Yeah. I can't tell you the last time Alabama basketball had better preseason odds to win the championship than the football team.
Crazy.
But that is currently the case. Nate Oates is a fantastic coach, but nobody listens to this show to hear about Nate Oates. On the David Jones stuff, I think that was just a person, I think, that had made up his mind that he was ready for the next step in life. And I did see some of the discussion online about money, of course. Mm-hmm. And obviously he would have made more money to come back to school, I think, than go to the league. You wonder if there was some sort of promise. I'm not even sure that there was, based on the fact that he was still working out and he waited to the last minute.
Right.
You know, because unless it came from that workout yesterday, and that doesn't necessarily, you know, that seems unlikely, right, that promise would have come in that short time frame there right before. Usually a team that wants you or may want to make a promise is one of the teams that would rather bring you in earlier. So it's the timing seemed a little bit perplexing. Obviously, it's incredibly disappointing. My thing that, and I think I was listening to the last segment, and you eventually got to it and touched on it, but like my concern for the Tigers moving forward isn't necessarily the fact that they lost David Jones. Mm-hmm. It's that they're trying this all over again without continuity, trying to bring in a bunch of transfers and make it work. And we've seen all across the country that it is extremely challenging to do that, at least not with a little bit of continuity. Like, everybody brings in transfers, but, like, a lot of the teams that made the Final Four were transfers that eventually ended up playing on the team for 1 or 2 years, or for 2 or 3 years.
Yep.
So I that, to me, is where my biggest concern still lies for the Tigers. It's not necessarily that David Jones is gone. I know he was a great player. He probably would have been your best player or in the mix of your best players next year. But you still would have been in a very similar situation because you only would have had him and Jourdain back. And trying to do this all over again is going to be a challenge every single time. I think that's something that Penny definitely needs to be better at. And he's going to have to learn to navigate. And even though he's well into this job now, I think he is still learning on the job. And you hope that last year's experience helps him be a little bit better this year.
I mean, ultimately, that's why you got to hope guys like P.J. Haggerty, you know, Dane's got two, but who knows, but Okoji's got three. To your point, you got to keep guys in your program so there's not as much turnover. That's got to be a key to it, and David Jones would have been one of those guys, one of those multi-year transfers. DeAndre Williams did so much for the program over those years. You got to get more of that in there, and absolutely, I mean, you know, not having David Jones back with that experience, you got to reshuffle the deck. To your point, Drew, you don't know who's 1A now. With David Jones back, you know who the alpha is, at least to start in the pecking order, and you figure it out from there. Well, now you have no idea. You haven't been in game situations with these guys because you've got so many new faces and not enough, you know, old familiar ones. So I'm with you. I mean, that was, you know, getting back to continuity was getting David Jones back. And so from the Memphis standpoint, it's tough. I still see them, you know, that same athletic top 25 post last night's deadline has got Memphis like 30th, you know, outside the top 25, but 30th. Like, people still, you know, the recruiting class ranked 11th by 247. Like, there's a path. I just think, you know, to get the kind of excitement he really needed around here, you want to make a second weekend, you know, and I think that chance is lessened without David Jones.
I just saw Andy Katz put out his Power 36, and he had Memphis at 36.
Mm-hmm.
You know what else I wonder? I just wonder if David Jones was done with school.
Well, that's what it feels. And I told Brad this, and I didn't just say it because we're having you on. I started to wonder about that coming from the quotes you got from him up there. Like, that was where I started to say, and again, you'd hear all kinds of stuff in the streets, but I thought this was a no-brainer up until I was about to say I listened to him. I read him in your piece, and it started to sound like a guy who was just done with it. You know, after doing that podcast down the DR that said, man, life's good at Memphis and everything's free, he sounded different with you. That's where the first red flags went up for me, that maybe this dude's just, he's just done with college, like you said.
It struck me that way in talking to him. Yeah, you know, to give you some insight into how that conversation.
Please do. Yeah.
It started with me just simply bringing up the fact that there's a lot of pressure on him to come back.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know, you got a lot of, I'm from Memphis. I introduced myself because I don't know David like that. I don't cover the Tigers.
Right, right.
And then it started with, you know, there's a lot of people in Memphis that really want to know what your decision's going to be. Like, where does that stand? Where is that? He said, I definitely feel that pressure. But I'm here for a reason. Like, he made that very clear, like right out the gate. I'm at the NBA Combine for a reason because I want to be in the NBA. And that sort of opened up more doors to start asking about, okay, so this isn't as clear cut as, you know, I'm not a first rounder. I'm not getting a guaranteed contract, but I'm going back. And the answer was essentially no to that. Like, there's something more to my career and my future as a basketball player than just the money. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. You know, that was the whole point is, I wouldn't have even come to the combine if this was about money, because I know that. And so I feel like at the minute that that came out of his mouth, it did. I did raise an eyebrow and go, oh, okay, he might really be done with school. He might just be saying, I don't want to go into another class ever again. Like, I don't want to have to take another test. I don't want to have to do any of that other stuff. And when you've been in college for that long, I don't blame them. You know, like, if you know your career is in basketball at that point, like, I do think that I don't know if I would have made the same decisions that David Jones made, just because the money is so substantially different. And it's not like the NBA is going anywhere. It'll still be there. Yeah. I think one of the things that I found interesting about Mark Sears' decision to come back to Alabama, who is obviously a big name and potentially a second-round draft pick, was he said throughout the process he was assured by NBA teams that age isn't quite as big of a thing anymore because more of these prospects, because of NIL, are older coming into the league. And so I was assured by NBA teams that my age, if I were to come out next year, isn't going to be a determining factor that's going to push me back into the second round if I could be a first-round pick. It didn't seem like David Jones really had that same mindset. It seemed like he just was ready to go.
Sure does. And again, that's what was good about having you up at the combine. You were hitting everything, and obviously, for first and foremost, the Grizz-related stuff and seemingly talking to everybody that's going to be taking the lottery. But it was your work and talking to David where I started to say, hold on, man, this thing, maybe we need to start thinking about it a different way. So again, you were up there killing two birds with one stone, man. You're doing great work up there and continue to do so. Talking, of course, to Daily Memphian Grizzlies beat writer Drew Hill. All right, game five tonight, Minnesota, Dallas, obviously. Do we have a series here, Drew, or is it over tonight?
I don't know if it's over tonight, but I think the series is over. I think Dallas is going to win the series just because the matchup is so close that these games are going to be able to teeter either way in the final minutes, and I think that's you're probably going to get that again tonight. It's happened in every single game so far. And when you have the best player on the court the way that Dallas does, you just feel more strongly that Luka and Kyrie are going to be able to close out a series at some point.
Yep.
It'll be tough tonight to win in Minnesota. And so maybe this series gets extended. It may go six. It may go all the way to seven. I think that's certainly a possibility. But I have a lot of faith that Luka will get it done. I'm having to change my stance on the Mavericks a little bit.
Me too.
Because I didn't feel quite as strongly about them coming into the playoffs, but it has certainly worked. And it's fascinating because, just to tie this back into the Grizzlies for a second, and because everybody wants to talk about the Grizzlies draft, right? And I find it really interesting that some of these teams that you have in the playoffs play differently. The Mavericks are so heavily dominated by a guard with like this heliocentric power, the supernova sun, and everybody sort of revolves around Luka, and that's just the way that it works.
Yep.
And Boston seems to be the complete opposite. And I've been doing a little digging on the new hire, Noah LaRoche, for the Grizzlies, and I think there are two major questions. It's how are they going to change schematically the offense, and who are they going to draft? Like, those are the two things. And I was trying to figure out, how those two things may coordinate, and was digging into LaRoche's his background a lot. Now, I don't think he's going to be like the offensive coordinator of this team per se, that's just a manner of speech, but like, I'm not sure he's going to be a front of the bench lead assistant type, but I do think that it is interesting the background that he comes from, because this offense that he used in Division III when he was coaching was this like revolutionary, in a way, radical or imaginative, whichever way you want to view it, offense that had no pick and rolls, no dribble handoffs, none of it. It was all predicated on cutting and passing and swinging the ball around the perimeter and creating as much space as possible for everybody to operate. And like, the selling point of it was you don't need to have this ball dominant guard or player that you're going to set a bunch of pick and rolls for, because pick and rolls on a per possession basis may not be as effective as you might think that they are, even though it's the most used action in all of basketball. Well, I bring it back to the draft because I wonder, those types of teams, they need traditional bigs and screen setters and right. stuff like that. Some of the other teams and the way that they operate, like think back to the Warriors and their heyday, the James Harden Rockets, like that stuff is closer to what LaRoche was running than what the Mavericks are doing. And so I've kind of come back on the idea a little bit that the Grizzlies may want to draft a traditional center just because I feel like why would you hire a player development guy who's
That's interesting.
Old bread and butter is kind of, you know, this idea of spacing the floor out and playing this new school, like new age, how they view the future of the NBA type of offense. And why would they hire that and then also draft a traditional big? And there are some interesting things, and there are some previous connections that LaRoche has to the staff, and I don't think my story's out yet. I don't know when it'll come out, but okay. I've been digging in, writing about this stuff. And it's just, it's so opposite of what some of the teams in the NBA do. And when I watch Dallas and then I think about that, the contrast is just glaring. And so it's been interesting to me because you try to figure out what works the best across the league. You try to figure out...
Yeah.
You know, how teams are getting to their pinnacle, and it feels like Dallas at this point is pretty close to it maximizing what they're going to be able to do with this roster that they have and how that may contrast with the vision that the Grizzlies may have moving forward is fascinating.
That's really interesting. And it's part of it. It kind of touches on what you said in terms of what the Grizzlies will do, because I'll just tell you where I've been, Drew, and being real honest and maybe naively. So I've been about trading the pick, go, you know, cashing in and getting a veteran center so that, you know, you're maximizing contender status and you're not trying to do it with a rookie big. But going back to watching Dallas and things I've had to come around on is that, I mean, Lively and how important he is to them. I mean, that's a rookie big out there, right? That's performing in the playoffs. And you saw, you know, without him, they were clearly missing something. And I'm not saying that anybody in this draft is necessarily him or having that exact production. But I've been just, I don't think that rookie center, whether it's even Klingon, not that I think that they'll have a position to get him, I don't know that guy is ready to contribute for me in the playoffs. Well, and you've made this point. I mean, OKC had the Kaysen kid, Kaysen Wallace, whatever. There are rookies contributing for contenders. And I've had to open up to the fact that maybe the best route would be using the pick as opposed to trading it, you know?
Yeah, the Lively stuff is interesting too, because just to tie it back to what I was about with LaRoche, it's fascinating because most of that is predicated on, like, a lot of the principles is all about movement and relocation, and like, it's not about having a grounded big that's a wide body that's going to gobble up rebounds mm-hmm. and set screens. It's about having somebody that moves well.
Yep.
And it also talks, frankly, it's some of the stuff, again, I don't want to overstep because I want people to read, but it's interesting that some of the connections that some of the former staff or current staff that knew LaRoche previously had some takes on, you know, part of the media before they became, you know, part of the Grizzlies organization, and talk about this sort of emphasis on movement and this focus on wings and this focus away from traditional bigs and smaller guards. And so, but Lively does fit a role that fits that idealism a little bit better, I think, because he does move so well. And he's not this heavy body the way, you know, Edie or Klingon might be. Yep. So it's fascinating. But, like, look, we can't just rule out that the Grizzlies might go after one of those guys, because we saw the value of having a traditional big man in Steven Adams standing there at the dunker spot. So we don't know the direction that the Grizzlies are going to go. I mean, we should just be super clear about that. Like, we don't know what tweaks the offense they're going to make to the offense, or if they're going to go with an entirely new philosophy or whatever it will look like. But we may learn a lot based on this draft. I think we may learn a lot about what their future looks like based on the type of player that they select. But Lively is certainly interesting, but I don't know if he's quite the same mold as like a Klingon or Edie. So I don't know. I don't know if that's a perfect comparison.
No. I don't know that there's a Lively in this draft, and it certainly wouldn't be, to your point. It's not You know, it's not those two guys. Your transfers, DeAndre Williams did so much for the program over those years. You got to get more of that in there. And absolutely, I mean, you know, not having David Jones back with that experience, you got to reshuffle the deck. To your point, Drew, you don't know. You don't know who's 1A now. You don't. I mean, with David Jones back, you know who the, you know who the alpha is, at least to start in the pecking order, and you go, you figure it out from there. Well, now you have no idea. You haven't been in game situations with these guys because you've got so many new faces and not enough, you know, old familiar ones. So I'm with you. I mean, that was, you know, getting back to continuity was meant to me was getting David Jones back. And so from the Memphis standpoint, it's tough. I still see them, you know, that same athletic top 25 post last night's deadline has got Memphis like 30th, you know, outside the top 25, but 30th. Like, people still, you know, the recruiting class ranked 11th by 247. Like, there's a path. I just think, you know, to get the kind of excitement he really needed around here, you want to make a second weekend, you know, and I think that chance is lessened without David Jones.
I just saw Andy Katz put out his Power 36, and he had Memphis at 36.
Mm-hmm.
You know what else I wonder? I just wonder if David Jones was done with school.
Well, that's what it feels. I told Brad this, and I didn't just say it because we're having you on. I started to wonder about that coming from the quotes you got from him up there. Like, that was where I started to say, and again, you'd hear all kinds of stuff in the streets. But I thought this was a no-brainer up until I was about to say I listened to him. I read him in your piece, and it started to sound like a guy who was just done with it. You know, after doing that podcast down the DR that said, man, life's good at Memphis and everything's free, he sounded different with you. That's where the first red flags went up for me, that maybe this dude's just, he's just done with college, like you said.
It struck me that way in talking to him. Yeah, you know, it's the to give you some insight into how that conversation.
Please do. Yeah.
It started with me just simply bringing up the fact that there's a lot of pressure on him to come back.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know, you got a lot of, I'm from Memphis. I introduced myself because I don't know David like that. I don't cover the Tigers.
Right, right.
And then it started with, you know, there's a lot of people in Memphis that really want to know what your decision's going to be. Like, where does that stand? Where is that? And he said, I definitely feel that pressure. But I'm here for a reason. Like, he made that very clear, like right out the gate. I'm at the NBA Combine for a reason because I want to be in the NBA. And that sort of opened up more doors to start asking about, okay, so this isn't as clear cut as, you know, I'm not a first rounder. I'm not getting a guaranteed contract, but I'm going back. And the answer was essentially no to that. Like, there's something more to my career and my future as a basketball player than just the money. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. You know, that was the whole point, is I wouldn't have even come to the combine if this was about money, because I know that. And so I feel like at the minute that came out of his mouth,
yep,
I did raise an eyebrow and go, oh, okay, he might really be done with school. He might just mm-hmm. be saying, I don't want to go into another class ever again. You know, like, I don't want to have to take another test. I don't want to have to do any of that other stuff. And when you've been in college for that long, I don't blame him. You know, like, if you know your career is in basketball at that point, like, I do think that I don't know if I would have made the same decisions that David Jones made, just because the money is so substantially different, and it's not like the NBA is going anywhere. It'll still be there.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that I found interesting about Mark Sears' decision to come back to Alabama, who is obviously a big name and potentially a second-round draft pick, was he said throughout the process he was assured by NBA teams that age isn't quite as big of a thing anymore, because more of these prospects, because of NIL, are older mm-hmm. coming into the league. And so I was assured by NBA teams that my age, if I were to come out next year, isn't going to be a determining factor that's going to push me back into the, you know, second round if I could be a first-round pick. You know, yeah. It didn't seem like David Jones really had that same mindset. It seemed like he just was ready to go.
Sure does. And again, I mean, that's what was good about having you up at the combine. You were hitting everything, and obviously, first and foremost, the Grizz-related stuff, and seemingly talking to everybody that's going to be taking the lottery. But it was your work and talking to David where I started to say, hold on, man, this thing, maybe we need to start thinking about it a different way. So again, you were up there killing two birds with one stone, man. You're doing great work up there and continue to do so. Talking, of course, to Daily Memphian Grizzlies beat writer Drew Hill. All right, game 5 tonight, Minnesota Dallas, obviously. Do we have a series here, Drew, or is it over tonight?
I don't know if it's over tonight, but I think the series is over. I think Dallas is going to win the series just because the matchup is so close that these games are going to be able to teeter either way in the final minutes, and I think that's you're probably going to get that again tonight. It's happened in every single game so far. And when you have the best player on the court the way that Dallas does, you just feel more strongly that Luka and Kyrie are going to be able to close out a series at some point.
Yep.
It'll be tough tonight to win in Minnesota. And so maybe this series gets extended. It may go six. It may go all the way to seven. I think that's certainly a possibility. But I have a lot of faith that Luka will get it done. I'm having to change my stance on the Mavericks a little bit.
Me too.
Because I didn't feel quite as strongly about them coming into the playoffs, but it has certainly worked. And it's fascinating because, you know, just to tie this back into the Grizzlies for a second, and because everybody wants to talk about the Grizzlies draft, right? And I find it really interesting that some of these teams that you have in the playoffs play differently. You know, the Mavericks are so heavily dominated by a guard with, like, this heliocentric power, the supernova sun, and everybody sort of revolves around Luka, and that's just the way that it works.
Yep.
And Boston seems to be the complete opposite. And, you know, I've been doing a little digging on the new hire, Noah LaRoche, for the Grizzlies, and I think there are two major questions. It's how are they going to change schematically the offense, mm-hmm. and who are they going to draft? Like, those are the two things. And I was trying to figure out, you know, how those two things may coordinate, and was digging into LaRoche's his background a lot. Now, I don't think he's going to be like the offensive coordinator of this team per se, you know, just that's just a manner of speech, but like, I'm not sure he's going to be a front of the bench lead assistant type, but I do think that it is interesting the background that he comes from, because this offense that he used in Division III when he was coaching was this like revolutionary, in a way, radical or imaginative, whichever way you want to view it, mm-hmm. offense that had no pick and rolls, no dribble handoffs, none of it. It was all predicated on cutting and passing and swinging the ball around the perimeter and creating as much space as possible for everybody to operate. And like the selling point of it was you don't need to have this ball dominant guard or player that you're going to set a bunch of pick and rolls for, because yeah. pick and rolls on a per possession basis may not be as effective as you might think that they are, even though it's the most used action in all of basketball. Well, I bring it back to the draft because I wonder, you know, like those types of teams, they need traditional bigs and screen setters and right. stuff like that. Some of the other teams and the way that they operate, like think back to the Warriors, and in their heyday, the James Harden Rockets, like that stuff is closer to what LaRoche was running than what the Mavericks are doing. And so I've kind of come back on the idea a little bit that the Grizzlies may want to draft the traditional center, just because I feel like, why would you hire a player development guy who's
That's interesting.
Old bread and butter is kind of, you know, this idea of spacing the floor out and playing this new school, like new age, how they view the future of the NBA type of offense. And why would they hire that and then also draft a traditional big? And there are some interesting things, and there are some previous connections that LaRoche has to the staff, and I don't think my story's out yet. I don't know when it'll come out, but okay. I've been digging in, writing about this stuff. And it's so opposite of what some of the teams in the NBA do. And when I watch Dallas and then I think about that, the contrast is just glaring. And so it's been interesting to me because you try to figure out what works the best across the league. You try to figure out...
Yeah.
you know, how teams are getting to their pinnacle. And it feels like Dallas at this point is pretty close to it maximizing what they're going to be able to do with this roster that they have and how that may contrast with the vision that the Grizzlies may have moving forward is fascinating.
That's really interesting. And it's part of it. It kind of touches on what you said in terms of what the Grizzlies will do, because I'll just tell you where I've been, Drew, and being real honest and maybe naively so, I've been about trading the pick, go, you know, cashing in and getting a veteran center so that, you know, you're maximizing contender status and you're not trying to do it with a rookie big. But going back to watching Dallas and things I've had to come around on is that, I mean, Lively and how important he is to them. I mean, that's a rookie big out there, right? That's performing in the playoffs, and you saw, you know, without him, they were clearly missing something. And I'm not saying that anybody in this draft is necessarily him or having that exact production, but I've been just, I don't think that rookie center, whether it's even Klingon, not that I think that they'll have a position to get him, I don't know that guy is ready to contribute for me in the playoffs. Well, and you've made this point. I mean, OKC had the Kaysen kid, Kaysen Wallace, whatever. There are rookies contributing for contenders, and it's had to. I've had to open up to the fact that maybe the best route would be using the pick as opposed to trading it. You know.
Yeah, the Lively stuff is interesting too, because just to tie it back to what I was just talking about with LaRoche, it's fascinating because most of that is predicated on, like, a lot of the principles is all about movement and relocation, and like, it's not about having a grounded big that's a wide body that's going to gobble up rebounds mm-hmm. and set screens. It's about having somebody that moves well.
Yep.
And it also talks, frankly, it's some of the stuff, again, I don't want to overstep because I want people to read, but it's interesting that some of the connections that some of the former staff or current staff that knew LaRoche previously had some takes on, you know, part of the media before they became, you know, part of the Grizzlies organization, and talk about this sort of emphasis on movement and this focus on wings and this focus away from traditional bigs and smaller guards. And so, but Lively does fit a role that fits that idealism a little bit better, I think, because he does move so well and he's not this heavy body the way, you know, Edie or Klingon might be. Yep. So it's fascinating. But like, look, we can't just rule out that the Grizzlies might go after one of those guys, because we saw the value of having a traditional big man in Steven Adams standing there at the dunker spot. So we don't know the direction that the Grizzlies are going to go. I mean, we should just be super clear about that. Like, we don't know what tweaks the offense they're going to make to the offense, or if they're going to go with an entirely new philosophy or whatever it will look like. But we may learn a lot based on this draft. I think we may learn a lot about what their future looks like based on the type of player that they select. But Lively is certainly interesting, but I don't know if he's quite the same mold as like a Klingon or Edie. So I don't know. I don't know if that's a perfect comparison.
No, I don't know that there's a Lively in this draft, and it certainly wouldn't be, to your point. It's not those two guys.